Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, welcome. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Alice Benton. Hi, guys. Doing okay today?
Hey, we're just glad to be with you.
We sure are. Hi, gentlemen.
Well, here's the thing. I think it was God's will for somebody to have an argument last night that just kind of put them over the line in their marriage, so that when we said you could still get in the marriage intensive, the intimacy intensive, tomorrow in D.C. and change everything, that it just all would come together. You'd argue, feel like we got to do something. You'd come, decide to come. We'd get you in. And that's why you had the argument and you're listening to the broadcast today. So if that's you and you need to do something rather than continuing to try harder at the same stuff you're doing, come join us in D.C. Tomorrow we're doing Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. And it's not, you literally, we make it where you could sign up at the very last minute and still get in. We're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Misty, my wife's going to be there. Mylon's there. Kay, his wife. And it is just going to be one incredible time of change and transformation for so many people. So come be part of it. We'd love to have you.
Steve, it sets up a space for people to talk about things and learn about things that they never have before in their lives when the men and women are separated. And it's just a time of getting to ask the raw questions you were too embarrassed to ask or you didn't know who to ask.
That's right.
Everybody lets their guard down, and we get to learn how to love each other better. And maybe nobody ever taught us how to do it that way before. Right. Or if you're skilled at loving your spouse, it's just going to be upgraded by this weekend. It's so well worth it.
And
that's a great way to put it.
Okay, so it's not just Steve and Misty and Mylon and Kay. It's 20 amazing therapists,
yes,
you see, who help facilitate all this. Mm-hmm. When you're coupled with about three or four other couples and a therapist, and you meet, you know, five or six times during that weekend, and you realize other couples are struggling with the same thing, and you get to learn from each other and hear from each other. And you've been a therapist at those workshops, and it's amazing to see, Alice, the difference between Friday afternoon and Sunday afternoon.
That's
Isn't
right.
it amazing, the transformation?
Yes. And the friendships that are formed, because it draws people out of their isolation, and it makes it safe for them to talk about things, to talk about anything in those rooms.
I had one group some time ago. They said they were going to buy some sort of vacation place together so they could all hang out and keep hanging out. That's how the bond that took place in that group. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the headline from...
They never invited me, though. I didn't get to go, but they had their own little group.
But the headline, I think, for most people that come is an amazing hope when there wasn't any, or just a resolution of things that maybe they thought, well, this is just something I have to live with, this is the way it's going to be, and you discover, no, it really isn't true. Things can be very, very different. But you have to come, you have to let us help you. That's what we want you to do. We want to help you so badly. It's just one amazing experience. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive, Washington, D.C., tomorrow. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Go right to the phone calls here on New Life Live. And as I said, we're thrilled that you've joined us today, because just like at that workshop, there's hope. Many times when someone thought no hope whatsoever, not possible, yeah, It really is. We're going to experience it here. We'll experience it at the weekend. So if you need some help between now and whenever, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign up for the workshop. It's also where you can go and find out how to help us. We'll be back right after this.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, Milan Yurkovich. You, right now, on the phone, here we go. Norma, Louisville, Kentucky. Well, she gets us on Facebook there. We're glad she does. Hi, Norma. How are you today? What's going on?
I'm fine.
Good. What's happening?
A little nervous.
Nah.
Well,
come on. No need to be nervous.
The question really is, how do I get back with my sister who has decided that it's all my fault that my other sister isn't going to heaven?
Okay, so you better tell us how she came to that conclusion.
Well, some of the background is we came from a very abusive family.
Mm-hmm.
Physical, sexual, the gamut. Okay. And my father died like 50 years ago now.
Okay.
And we have talked things out together and sort of used each other as a group psychiatric group trying to figure out things over the years.
Okay.
And things have gotten better. I've also was in a CR group, so I've handled and understood some of my anger and forgiven as I've gone along.
Okay. So why does she think you cost your sister her life with God in eternity?
Well, our mother died about, I don't know, maybe 5 years now. And she's decided, my sister A has decided that sister B thought I was, I don't know exactly how she gets it, because my one sister never even went to my mother's funeral, so I don't.
Okay, so tell me how she thinks you prevented one sister from going to heaven. How would that be?
She thinks I'm still angry.
And how would that cause your sister to not go to heaven?
I don't know. It's not
okay.
I can't be responsible for what God's responsible for. I comprehend that, but I don't know how to.
Norma, how did you respond to her when she first accused you of this?
Well, I told her I wasn't angry anymore, and she said, "Yes, you are. I know you better than you do." Blah blah blah, and started angrily screaming at me over the phone because she lives in another state. And after several minutes of that, I hung up on her. I couldn't take it.
And how long has it been since then?
2 years.
Has there been any communication between you two in those 2 years?
Well, I've tried to, but she hangs up on me. Mm.
So just give us your best attempts to reconcile with her. What happened? What, you made a phone call? Was there anything else, anything different that you've tried?
I really don't know how to try. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we just, I feel like she doesn't see things clearly. She thinks I'm jealous of her. She thinks I judge her. And to some degree I do, because I never know if she's lying to me. So I have to figure out whether or not what she's telling me is a lie.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. A lot of questions here. We're going to try to help anybody listening to what is the best chance to resolve a relational conflict, or where you reach a place of stalemate. What's the best chance of trying to repair that and pull it back together when in reality it just might be impossible? I'll take first stab, and that is that any communication with the other person would start with perhaps, "Hi, I have called to ask your forgiveness." And perhaps that forgiveness would just be, maybe you've done nothing wrong, but maybe the forgiveness is, "I wasn't totally sensitive to where you were or what you were trying to say to me, and I wish we had it to do all over again." Maybe that's an honest confession, when maybe you think the other person really has most of the responsibility. Mylan and Alice, you guys, what do you think is maybe the best way when it seems impossible for something to be resolved? What's another way?
I think after what you say, Steve, then we have to get very curious and non-defensively curious, which is going to be very hard to do. We ask questions. "Would you please tell me, what was it that I did or said? You think I'm still angry. How do you see that? Tell me about it, and I'm just going to listen to you." Because if we want reconciliation, I think one of the only ways to get it is to become a good listener to the person that's upset with us. But as Norma pointed out, we also have to decide how toxic is the other person and what's the safest way to reach out to them. So if she hangs up every single time, this might have to be a letter, an email. You might have to get it to her a different way and see if that offer that Steve is laying out and the curiosity softens her heart to have a conversation with you. But you also may have to be protective of yourself depending on how toxic she is, how loud, how angry the other person gets.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, if you've done everything possible, you don't shut yourself off from any possibility that they might have a change of heart. But at some point, you have to say, "There's nothing I can do. I just make it worse by annoying the other person." Mylan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would do something a bit different.
Of course you would, because that's why we have you on the program.
This is kind of a little counterintuitive, but I would arrange a meeting where I would show up at their house, maybe with the other sister, and I would show up with somebody that I trusted who was really safe and really strong to help us navigate a conversation. Now, Norma, your family is what I would call a chaotic or disorganized family. There's been hurt, abuse, pain, and everybody is reactive because of that. And so everybody is bouncing off everybody, and there's no keel to the boat. It's rocking back and forth. And so I would do everything I could and maybe talk to your other sister and say, "You know, what would happen if we just went to see this sister and we drove and got in the car," whatever the case may be. But you also may want to find someone in that area and maybe call some people and find out, you know, would there be a therapist in the area that could meet with us and maybe do an intensive with us for a day? And, there are therapists that do that. They will do mm-hmm. intensives.
Yeah, right.
And put that professional person in the driver's seat and say, we came from a chaotic, disorganized background, and you know what? We can't even have a conversation. So would you help us and guide us And I think that would be an approach I would take.
You know, one time I had a situation like that, Mylon, and I was told if I came, the guy would have a shotgun. So I didn't go. But you see, in families, that's not going to be the case. I mean, it really, you know, it's something inside of that person kind of starts to melt usually, and they start to see this person really wants something.
Yeah,
good.
If two sisters show up at the door and they say, come on, you know, we're here to pick you up. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a counselor's office and we're going to have a talk.
Yeah,
that it, at least you're going to find out what's possible. If the third sister won't cooperate, the one that hung up on you, then maybe the two of you, you know, sister one and two, goes to the therapist and they have a meeting and they just do the best they can with the intensive.
Hmm. All right. I'm going to send How We Love, Norma. I hope you'll just sit down and read it and maybe even go over it with a counselor, pastor, somebody, before you have that meeting, because there's just so much insight into that book. It's got a workbook. I'll send you the book and the workbook. It's the second edition. Everything in there has been updated, revised, new things. And if you only have the first edition, the second's even better. That's a lot of the material we're going to go over starting tomorrow in Washington, D.C. at the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. Let's talk to Patty, Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
Hello? Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Hello.
My question is it considered abuse? My husband has got this thing in his head when alerts come up on the phone at night that someone is trying to contact me, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to set some kind of romantic liaison up when alerts come on the phone. He's a 65-year-old minister. And it's been a continuous source of just badness in the marriage. And also, there's been a lot of issues with jealousy. So is it considered abuse when he makes statements like that? And also he says that I'm going to have to be watched if I meet anybody new. I'm planning a weekend with the family this weekend, the people that he hasn't met. So he's saying, oh, well, I have to meet whoever you're going to meet first before you meet him. You know, ridiculous like that. But is that considered abuse?
Well, did you say this is a minister you're married to?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's start with our minister.
In the church,
yeah. All right. We'll start with our minister, Mylon, and see both Mylon and I are ministers. And what do you think? Is that, do you call it abuse, abusive, insensitive? Where do you put that, Mylon?
Well, certainly it's not healthy.
No.
There you go.
And so many people in the ministry have not been thoroughly vetted. They get in the ministry and they, behind closed doors, can be pretty unhealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends on what he does. Certainly the thorough examination and asking you questions and accusing you and always putting you on edge and making you feel irresponsible and the demeaning and minimizing nature and way that he takes care of or treats you. It's horrible, and it would be tough to live mm-hmm. under that. At some level, it is a form of abusive behavior because unhealthiness hurts us. Unhealthiness mm-hmm. of all sorts of kinds hurts us. So, but that's a great question. What is the definition of abuse? Let's just say he's unhealthy and it hurts you a lot. So what do I do with that?
Yeah.
You need to have help. Is there anybody else in the church that you can call upon to talk about this part of him and that could be your advocate?
Yeah, my poor pastor, he's pretty much been exhausted. He's tried with a good heart. I was going to talk to him today whenever I can reach him. My pastor has been involved. He knows about it. And she's called him and talked to him about it. But it's just exhaustive because it's almost like, you know, the whole scenario where we've been to counseling for several times, you know, professionally and, in the church, and it's just nothing seems to help.
What is
prayer? I really believe that God is the
Patty, what does several times mean? What do you mean you've been to counseling several times? How many
times? We've been to counseling a lot. We've been to professional counselors, and we've been to other couples, older couples, you know, that have counseled us about similar incidences that we've had.
Has anybody ever talked to your husband about his history and not being seen or abandonment or the fact that things were taken from him, relationship, he was robbed of relationship somehow, some ways. Anybody ever talk to him about that?
He has been. Yes, good. He has been. He was mistreated by his father, abused by his father, verbally abused, physically abused by his father.
Okay. Has anybody talked to him about this, Patty?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody talked to him about this? In other words, this is the reason for his jealousy.
Briefly.
Okay, this is where he needs to do his work. Patty, we have a break we're coming up to, and hold the line. We're going to come back to you. Steve?
Yeah, I've got an idea, and I'll tell you about it when we come back.
Okay.
We live in the same town, and I'm a pastor too, so maybe we can give you some help. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
On Friday night, we came, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against. And families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay, so we're talking here with Patty. Patty, a practical thing, if when the phone comes up at night, you know, and then he gets upset at night. Well, that's a horrible time to get upset, right? So you could just turn your phone off. Or you could give him your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm talking about a practical thing. It's not going to solve it. But just as a practical way of living together, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, since I'm in Indianapolis, I want you to hold on. I'd be happy to meet with you and him, since you're local, and maybe we could talk about a strategy that would get to the place where he finally dealt with some of this stuff that Mylan and you were talking about that has happened that really could be the source of this fear of losing you. I mean, isn't that really what it's all about? Or fear of losing anything?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know how to keep you. And a lot of people that want things, they actually alienate the very thing they want out of fear and not knowing. And so maybe we could get together, and I hear your tears there. Maybe we could move this in the direction that would really be helpful for you and him. Alice, you have a comment here you want to make about this situation? Encourage her.
I do, but I don't want to bring this up because I have some ugly things for Patty for you to consider. But I think we almost can't be too cautious about who we text or who we're with on social media. And so I want you to think about your history. You don't have to tell us this now, but think about your history and let God give him permission to reveal to you. Have you ever done anything that did give your husband cause for concern? And Patty, I'll confess to you, I did. I stayed in touch with too many ex-boyfriends, and I was curious about what they were up to. And I looked at them on Facebook. And my husband didn't know I was doing it. And so God revealed it to me, and I had to clean up my act because I was doing some concerning things.
Yeah.
Okay, so think about that and bring to your husband, if you can come up with anything, and or invite your husband, please tell me, have I done something that has given you cause for concern? But I think we also have to consider many times the accuser is projecting something that they might be doing. So if you're willing to go into counseling, these questions have to be asked of what has been the state of your fidelity, husband? We've got to ask this, and we got to ask it in love, because I want to be closer to you, and something is between us, and it's probably something I did, but maybe it's something in your past too. Let's get this all out on the table so we can have a much healthier marriage. Yes, yes.
All right. Well, hold on, and let's see if we'll get your information. Maybe the three of us can get together, and something might come out of that.
Do you know what a lot of counselors are like? They're kind of like weed whackers.
Okay, let's go with that then. Well, weed whacker.
Yeah. Well, they just whack the
just
top.
I'm thinking that.
Well, they. I can tell Patty's been here. People just say, "Stop it," or "You shouldn't do that," or "Let's just pray about it," or "Let's just." Figure out something to do here, and they just whack the top of the weeds off.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about here is getting to the root, which is to, as she shared and she cried, he's really afraid of losing her. And that has a history, which is at the roots. And we don't want to be weed whackers to help people. We have to get down to what the roots are, which is to say, what's really down there?
Yeah.
And his father was abusive. Relationships were tentative. Undoubtedly, this husband had a lot of losses and alienation, and was in a constant state of tension and anxiety as to his own relationship and with close relationships.
Right, right. And well, we're going to give her some help.
That's where they need help.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of the philosophy of just stop it, I would say, Larry, that when you came to New Life, you've confessed that was kind of your idea.
Bob Newhart, yeah.
Yeah. You kind of had this idea. Just
that's
quit.
That's what we whackers do.
That's right.
But
get it out of mind.
Very quickly, you had a change of heart about what it does take for transformation, and you've been one of the greatest advocates for everything that we do here. Talk about what we need to do to have a great summer here, because we're in it.
Yes, we need support, especially towards our matching gift. And I heard you guys talking about the marriage workshop that's starting tomorrow. And I had a note, an email from a lady, and she said, "New Life saved our marriage. My husband was arrested for attempting to pick up a prostitute. If I had not had many hours listening to all of your teaching on porn addiction," which he also confessed, "I would have left screaming. I know I would have hit the roof. Instead, I stayed calm. I recommended every man's battle. He went, came home incredibly repentant.
Wow.
It's been several years without a slip. I'd already started supporting you financially, but after the amazing change in my husband, we decided to become Club New Life members." You know, marriages are affected in so many ways. I mean, the marriage workshop, there's a radio program. You know, if she had not listened to radio, I'm willing to bet that marriage would have been history.
Right.
But she knew what to do. She didn't come unglued. So if you can help us, things like this happen when you give us your help. And your help means that lives are different. And it's only because we have this matching gift now, I'm imploring, please make a gift, and make a large gift now, because we can double it, and we have a large matching gift to match. So thank
over
you, everybody.
Over 300,000. Yeah. Over 300,000. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll thank you for it. We'll send you a wonderful gift to say thank you. But the real thanks is going to come when you meet those people in heaven whose lives are changed because you provided a way for them to get the help that they needed. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please help.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Alice Benton, Dr. Mylon Yurkovich, or Dr. Alice and Mylon Yurkovich right here with, let's go to Julie. Des Moines, Iowa is where she's calling from. Hi, how are you?
I am good.
Thanks for holding. How can we help?
You're welcome. Yeah, well, you know, even though it's my day-to-day life, I can sense that there's some changes that need to happen. And what I'm dealing with is my 12-year-old daughter. She is learning so much disrespect to authority, and she's unruly. And my husband actually promotes her behavior by acting a lot like she does.
What? A man acting like a 12-year-old. We can't get, but no, be specific. What does he do that you're saying is like her?
Okay, well, there's subtle manipulation that is happening when, you know, the forms of trying to control me or put pressure on the mom, as my daughter does, and my husband, it matches the mouthiness and the disrespect that he only does this in our home, and she follows suit.
Okay, can you tell us, give us an example? Give us an example, specific example.
Let's see. So if I want, you know, if I say something that's going to be happening in our house, I guess, you know, my husband will come along and either correct me or disagree with me. And my daughter, when she wants something, she tends to do the same thing. It's like, you know, presenting me with an argument when I am not ready for that. I won't even do that. So as far as an example, okay, well, for her to, I don't know, just have personal chores in our home, or something as simple as going to bed. But so So I believe my kids could have chores. My daughter has mm-hmm. a few responsibilities. And my husband doesn't really make those as a priority like I do. And so I usually am more verbal to say, hey, you know what, you got to remember to do your chores. And that way we can have more time to do more fun stuff later. And so simply there will just be mouth disrespect and completely, obstinate attitude towards what I just said.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
That attitude is kind of typical for a 12-year-old, and you need to respond appropriately to that attitude. Having a husband not understand the need and instead kind of enmeshes with the attitude and the child rather than support mature growth simply has to stop, because the child then is part of this triangle or triangulation, and that becomes a pattern of them getting involved in a lot of other of those kinds of things later on. So it's really important that he stop doing what he's doing, which is really sabotaging her needing to adjust to, with age comes greater responsibility, greater need to work and contribute. And he's really, really hurting her, probably because he's mm-hmm. bitter or resentful toward you. And everything needs to get out on the table and dealt with so that he's not using her to communicate his resistance to you or whatever he's feeling toward you. Alice, what are your thoughts here? Let's get started with you.
Julie, you must feel like you are fighting such an uphill battle here without support, and that they're just against you, and it makes your job so difficult when you're just trying to raise your children or your child well. What a difficult position you're in. If you were to bring to your husband, I need to be on a team, and I need your strength and support as we raise our 12-year-old. Can we talk about that? How do you imagine he would respond?
Well, I'm sure I've said that before, and I can imagine he would just be very few words, if any. Or he would already be defensive and say, I have been such a support to you that you don't even notice it. He would say something like
and
that.
And so overall, does he deny that he's doing this?
Yes.
Okay. So if he would be denying it that quickly, then I might have you bring a specific example to him. When we were trying to get our daughter to bed the other night, and I set the timeline and you laid out for him, this is what happened. And when you stepped in and told her she could stay up later, told her she could watch TV longer, it upset the balance. And I don't think you and I are together on some of these things as a team. So you may be right. I may not acknowledge all the good that you do. And if you want to tell me some of those things I'm missing, I'm all ears, because I want to acknowledge you. But I need more help and support. Would you be willing to read a book with me? Would you be willing to talk this through more for the sake of our daughter? How do you think he would respond?
Well, again, I think of his defense, but, if he can get away from his phone long enough, I think he may, depending on his mood, if he is, he may comply, but usually if he's willing to do something, which I wouldn't know for sure, he may be willing, but I think it would last a few days and it would stop.
So this problem is sounding pretty serious, that you are really alone in parenting and undermined by your husband. Have you two sought professional help for this?
I have personally been willing to give my husband kind of an ultimatum to intensive counseling as far as our relationship goes. I haven't really given him that ultimatum yet, but I'm planning on it soon.
What did you thought it would be? If you don't get counseling, what would happen?
because I don't want to promote such behavior in my home anymore, it's detrimented other children of mine, and I would start by separating if he was not willing to, definitely.
And Julie, are you concerned about any substance use, any other more toxic behaviors on your husband's part?
As far as behaviors towards me or others?
Drug and alcohol use, and anything that's more toxic that your husband might be doing.
Oh, absolutely no.
No, okay.
I don't. I know there is no.
Mylan, what's the thought here?
Well, Julie, I'm going to do a left turn here on you. I would ask a question, and I would ask a question even of your compliant children. How do I make you feel? How do I, Mom, make you feel? Compliant child one, compliant child two, compliant child three, mm-hmm. non-compliant child four, and husband.
Uh-huh.
See, there's been no discussion in this conversation about what does Julie do or how is Julie perceived in her home. And the question, how do I make you feel, is really important. Because they're, as Steve said earlier, they are triangulated against you, but they're in league. Why are they in league? What are they reacting to? Now, what I hear is you have lots of rules. And you give ultimatums, and there's a lot of structure, and there's chores and things that have to be done before we have fun, you see. Now, that's not wrong, and it's horrible to have your family triangulated against you. I agree with Alice. It's a horrible position to be in, but often we never ask the question, am I doing anything to contribute to this? Am I a part of this process? Am I precipitating in any way their reactivity?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good question to ask your kids. What do I make you feel like? Now, I've done this, Julie. I have four grown kids, and I've had to ask them along the way, especially throughout their various stages of life and young adulthood. How do I make you feel? What's it like to be around me? And that was so productive because they held up a mirror. And they told me what it was like to have me be their dad. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I had to listen to that and say, maybe I am causing a part of the problem that I'm experiencing here.
Sure. And I am very aware of that possibility.
Good. All right. We'll be right back. Hang on, Julie.
Take a break. Come right back.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to
fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today. Living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Still talking with Julie, and boy, Mylon's really helped her to maybe take a look here. You want to finish there, Mylon?
Well, just that oftentimes people's immature behavior, the immature behavior of your daughter and the corresponding immature behavior of your husband, while it is immature and certainly not a great example, may be speaking to some truth or pointing something out we need to pay attention to. And so that's all we're saying here is we want to be able to look at, you know, under every rock and ask what's really happening. I was going to say, Alice, you know, as you were talking, this is really a marriage problem. This isn't a child rearing problem. Because they aren't on the same page. But there's a reason for that. Why is he oppositional to her? And she said he's bitter. Okay, she used that word regarding him. Well, again, that's for a reason too. Now, it's about their dynamic. It's not just her. It's how the two of them relate together. And that's why they need the professional help you recommended.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you called. I am too.
That's a great call.
Send
Thank you,
how
Julie.
We love. I think that's going to give you some great insight here. And, you know, one of the things that I really believe can take place in a most difficult marriage is that you can learn how to go from irritating and provoking to, drumroll, comforting each other out of compassion for each other. And that's what we want to see. And I think Mylon and Kay's book, How We Love, is just done an amazing job of helping with that.
And Steve, can I quickly add, because if anybody out there is thinking of separating, if you're at that breaking point already, but you have multiple children, please consider accepting these levels of help we're offering or our Intimacy in Marriage weekend, because we have seen marriages at this point and they turn around through our weekend. Yeah. I recall cases where people couldn't even drive together because they were in such opposition to one another, but they made it to the conference and deep healing happened in a short period of time.
I know they couldn't drive together, literally, because they had restraining orders against each other. They were allowed to attend, but they could not stay in the same room. They could not come in the same car. And that marriage is together. So we see amazing things happen. If you want to know about that, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It starts tomorrow. It could change everything. Right now, I'm going to go to, let's talk with Melvin from Houston, Texas, KKHT. Hey, Melvin, how are you?
How you doing, Steve?
Good.
I called in. I'm a member. I've been to a couple of your programs, and which is real good.
Thank you.
And I told the lady that I needed a little counseling myself, but I called for a reason.
Okay.
That I heard a lady talk a few minutes ago about that she was going to marry a guy coming out of jail.
From another program?
I wanted to check. Yes, sir. And this is what I wanted to say. I hear y'all all the time. Y'all do your best. But if you ain't never been there, you know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my thing is, it's bad because when the guy get out, he don't know what he going to do. He think he know, you know.
Right.
But when he get in the big world and she be married and he see somebody else or see something else, and that's where the incident go bad. I'm speaking from experience, you know.
Yes. So you're saying
that years ago.
You're saying in prison, she's there, there's connection. Then he gets out of prison, and everybody's available. She does not know what impact that might have.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, he don't know that either. He just sitting in the spot. You know, he probably mean what he say. But when you get in the real world, I just like going to a candy store. You might want a Snicker, and you see all that other stuff, and you might pick something else.
All of a sudden, I want a Nabba Zabba, you know? All of a sudden, I want a Nabba Zabba, you know?
Melvin, we love that you're...
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, we do.
Melvin, we love that you're calling in, and we can tell you've done a lot of work on yourself. And you're talking about a call we'd taken on a previous show where a woman had met someone in prison and was going to marry this person. So we thank you so much for calling in with caution.
Yeah, thank you, Melvin.
Reward your kindness here with a copy of Every Man's Bible. I'm going to send it to you, and can't thank you enough. Well, just along those lines, it's rare, and I can say I've never heard anybody say, you know, we just waited too long to get married, and if we had rushed it, this whole thing would have been so much better. And but you often hear this, oh my goodness, I had no idea, if only we had waited. Waiting also involves trusting God with the unknown versus taking matters in my own hands and doing what I absolutely know is not the right thing to do. Alice, you and Mylan, we've got a couple minutes here. You could just try to help people with that decision-making process under the influence of this intoxicating drug called lust and romance.
Steve, your book comes to mind right away. Is this the one? Because you talk about dating people through all the seasons of a year. Mm-hmm. And then you lay out these great ideas where our character's a little bit tested and revealed in these different situations that you advise people to go through with one another, whether it's babysitting kids together or going out and volunteering, going out on a camping trip. It reveals something about the other person. And it's a fantastic idea because we need to really see as much as possible before marriage who this other person is. Mm-hmm. And most of us go in too blinded and just high on the emotions, that love cocktail emotions.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Mom.
Well, I was just going to say, I was telling my staff the other day at a staff meeting, I think the average person who is perhaps interviewing for a job or a Christian leader or even a pastor of a church isn't thoroughly vetted or is not vetted well enough, that they're not investigated enough. And so the same thing is true of marriage. People are put into positions, and we don't ask enough questions because of this dangerous cocktail we're on. And that's why your advice is so well if people would only apply it, Steve, if they would only take a year and get good premarital counseling and with somebody that will ask them and challenge them with hard questions and make them do hard work. And that usually isn't something people want to do when they're in love. They're just so excited about the relationship.
Yeah.
But before New Life, I never heard to ask the person I dated, how's your history with pornography? I never knew to ask that mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever told me.
Yeah.
And that is just that one question alone is so crucial, and it could save so many marriages all the damage and the harm that we see down the road, mm-hmm. but we don't even know to ask mm-hmm. it.
Well, here's another thing. If we get married and you say some vows that, you know, have been said by many people, or even if we make up some vows, there are things that aren't going to be said out loud. What are those things that you're committing to and you vow? Does it involve old boyfriends and girlfriends? Does it involve any kind of connection with anyone of the opposite sex? Does it involve pornography? What are you going to commit that you will never ever do as a sign of your devotion and love for me? I think you got to talk that through, because used to be you stood up there and said, I'm committing to you. I'm, you know, thickness, thin, I'm with you, I'm not going to have sex with anybody else. But there are a lot of other things that need to be included there. Well, we're out of time. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Mylan and I are going to be there in D.C. tomorrow. Intimacy in Marriage Intensive, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really do want, and you don't, just if you need some help of any from anything, for anything, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.